Well, this morning around 8:30 or so, I saw on the New York Times website that the Ukrainian government had mobilized its reserves. And this was being done in response to the Russian occupation of the Crimea. About 5 minutes later, I visited a website that tracks our national debt. And the little clock that's whirring away told me that it already exceeded $17,354,000,000,000. Scientists are telling us that California is currently experiencing its worst drought in 500 years. If that's not enough for you, the Red Sox have dropped their first two spring training games. And in approximately 5 billion years, the Earth is going to be consumed by fire when the sun explodes, destroying all life as we know it. But don't worry, be happy. Now, you're all smart people, so you recognize that I very quickly went from a series of serious issues that should concern us, that should command our attention, to the trivial and to things that are completely beyond our control. But you and I know that there are people out there, for all I know, there are maybe people right here, who at this very moment are worrying about the Red Sox prospects for 2014. They will call in to talk radio. They will read the paper. They will participate in chat boards. Based on two losses, they will be convinced that all is lost. And it will consume them and agitate them. They'll forget that the Sox were able to rebound from the 2012 disaster and come back and win it all last year. They'll fret. They'll be anxious. And guess what? All for nothing. All of that worry, all of that fear, all of that anxiety for nothing. Now, we people seem to be hardwired as humans for worry and fear and anxiety. And we often focus on the things we can't control, the things that aren't important, to the exclusion of the things that count. It's easier. It's more comfortable somehow. But Jesus calls us to attention and says, look at what you're doing. You've got a choice to make. And how does he frame this choice? In terms that we can understand. You can worship God, or you can worship money. Now take heart, be of good cheer. We often hear how 21st century Americans are all consumed by money. We're cash obsessed, that's all we think about. But we're not alone. Jesus' contemporaries have the same challenge. Indeed, this seems to be something that people have been fretting over since the beginning of time. I'm not talking about the ability to pay the light bill or put food on the table. I'm talking about hoarding as much as one can get. Think about the pharaohs, King Tut, those amazing pyramids filled with gold. Supposedly, all that stuff was going to go to the afterworld with the dead king. Must have been a little surprised when he got there and found out he had stayed behind. Think about writing. I mentioned this before. Remember what writing was invented for? Most likely, it was conceived by priests in ancient temples to keep track of the king's stuff. Not for poems, not for stories, but for accounting. People worry about things. And they invest their energies there. And Jesus knows that we do that with our money, but we also do it with other things. Things that will distract us from the kingdom of heaven. This week we have reached the heart of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus has been telling us in the previous sessions that the kingdom is here. It is now. It is arrived. It's not some distant location. It's not something that will happen in the afterlife or to other people. It is unfolding around us this day at this moment. Now, we may not recognize it, but if we don't, that's because we're using the world's values. That's because we're using society's yardstick. We have to choose which path we're going to follow. If we do that, Jesus tells us, if we choose to follow God's path, we can go in a wholly unexpected direction. One where indeed all the expectations of the world are turned upside down and inside out. Where we can free ourselves from needless and pointless anxieties and worries. And in doing so, we can create space so that we are able to be part of the kingdom of heaven. What do you think? Is there something that you're capable of letting go of during this season of Lent that we're about to begin? Something that if you were to walk away from would enable you to more fully be present to God and to let God be more fully present to you. Jesus was not delusional, and Jesus was not a Pollyanna. One may hear his words about the birds and the flowers and think, that all sounds great. But I know there are birds that die because they can't find food. I know that there is grass that is seared. What about my brother who can't find a job? What about my daughter who struggles with depression? What about me as I fight cancer? Where is this God of the lilies and the birds? We pose these questions, harking back to those words from Isaiah. God has made promises, and God keeps them. God is present. Even at the worst of times, we have an advantage that the disciples and the crowd gathered on Mount Tabor did not have when they heard Jesus preach the Sermon on the Mount. We know how the story is going to end. Oh, yes, it must have been great to be there at the very beginning. And to wonder how it was all going to unfold. But we can hear these words from Matthew 6 and hold them with Jesus' plaintive cry in Matthew 25. My God, why have you forsaken me? On the cross, in his darkest moment, Jesus still maintained a relationship with God. It was a relationship that was able to accommodate darkness and tension and disappointment. It was real and it was honest. Even in that moment, Jesus knew God would be present. And so Jesus was then able to say, I'm giving it to you, God. That's when Jesus commends his spirit to the Lord. That's when Jesus decided not to worry anymore. you and I are encouraged by Jesus to stop worrying. Oh yes, we should concern ourselves with those things that require our attention, meeting our responsibilities, paying the bills, helping those in need, allowing ourselves to be assisted. But there is so much that we do not need to worry about. There's so much that distracts us from God and from God's people. If we let those things go, then we can be happy. Not happy in the way we are if we win the lottery or someone bakes us a cake, or we get a shiny new toy. But happy in the way we can be when we are able to be the people God wants us to be. When we are able to fully claim our identity as children of a God who has formed us and loves us and has chosen us as his own. We can be happy in the way people can only be happy when they are fully present in God's new creation, in God's kingdom. So don't worry.